underground bases, Bigfoot, little people, and all sorts of other related type subjects. So that's what I do most of the time. My background is actually in corporations and newspapers before I did this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, what newspapers were you on?
I was with the Orlando Sentinel in Orlando, Florida, and I was also with the Oakland Press, which is a suburb of Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Now, you really kind of made a name for yourself because you made multiple appearances on Coast to Coast and other shows. What is it, Mary Joyce, that people, really including myself, generally seek you out? You seem to have a lot of information. It just isn't like at the point of a click. You seem to have some sort of knack for finding some really juicy nuggets out there.
Part of that's just good luck. Part of it's because my curiosity never shuts down. Mm-hmm. And when I get curious about stuff, I like to try to find out what's really going on.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I like, I was looking at your website earlier, and there's a person in there that I think had a stroke.
We just posted that, so you're seeing something that's brand new that just went up there. And I actually posted that for two reasons. One, because she's found some more undersea evidence of ancient civilizations. That would be the primary reason. But she's really been debilitated by her stroke, and I thought her story might be helpful to other people who have disabilities, or even to the rest of us who maybe get too darn lazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's so interesting. You know, having a stroke and that, but she hasn't given up on life, and now here she is getting information that I guess maybe in one strange way is giving her time to do some deeper research. I know she's not quite invalid, but she has the ability, and that really is kind of an inspiring message that, you know, the search for truth goes on.
Even if you're spending most of your time in a bed. Yeah, I think that's great. Mm-hmm. And if we always keep our curiosity alive, we will stay more lively.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is awesome to know. We're going to be talking about maybe a little bit of Bigfoot, but also be talking about some of these other things. There's a whole lot of pictures on your website about structures on Mars as well. But let me just go ahead and start with the Bigfoot part, and we'll get into that. But and I know I've talked to you before, but I want to know if you ever had any credible sources tell you specifically that where there are Bigfoot, there are also UFOs?
Well, that's just an observation I've made myself, because we have a lot of Bigfoot sightings in this area of the mountains, and we also have a lot of UFOs. Now, there's great debate about whether there is a connection between the two, but you can't rule it out when you keep finding the same things in the same area.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. And now, we had a guest on the show, and she said that when she was out looking for UFOs, that in a farmer's field, that a gray alien appeared to her in the skin, I can't say in the flesh, in the skin, 6 feet away, and they shot, they had spotlights at night, and it shot right in the eye, and this alien creature didn't flinch, didn't move, didn't do anything. And she said she felt, and her crew felt, an incredible terror. Have you heard anybody talking about whether they saw either a UFO or a Bigfoot, that they had this overwhelming sense of terror?
With the aliens, I have, absolutely. The people who are running into grays, which may be, I think there's multiple kinds of grays. Some of them may be absolutely a type of organic robot that are doing the work for a more evolved species, mm-hmm. but they're also a whole race of them. Mm-hmm. I personally don't want anything to do with the grays or the reptilians, and the only ones I ever want to meet are the ones that are pretty much described as the Nordics and maybe the tall whites, but they are the ones that sometimes actually help people out. Not so sure about the little grays.
How are they going to help you out?
There was a pastor, I shouldn't say it in the past tense, but there was a pastor here in North Carolina, and he had a very serious, humongous clot in his leg, and the doctor was afraid he might not survive. And one night, a Pleiadian-type being appeared at the foot of his bed. He said he felt total peace. He didn't feel afraid. The being didn't say anything, but the next morning he woke up and that whole leg was totally healed.
Wow.
So that's a good thing. There's a number of healing stories along those lines. I've even gotten a few stories where people have been healed or helped in some very significant way by the Bigfoot. The Bigfoot aren't all monsters. They have a lot of what I would call good human qualities. I have to say good human qualities because what's been going on lately in this country, I'm not sure how good we all are.
Well, you know what? No, I never thought about that, but perhaps the Bigfoot people can bring us all together.
I hadn't really thought of it that way either, but that would be really nice.
Yeah, I mean, now with the now for the nasty one. Now, of course, now you're talking about some good Bigfoot. For your nastier ones, now they're pretty much nonpartisan, right? I mean, if you're one side of the political spectrum or another, and you're going into their territory and messing with them, they don't really care which party you're linked to, do they?
There's two reactions. One, they try to keep people at bay, and I can't blame them. I'm not sure I'd want to invite them into my territory either.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're just regular people, they will try to just scare them away with very loud vocals, or they will toss stones, not hit them, but throw them in their direction, mm-hmm. Simply to try to scare people away.
Mm-hmm.
The only people that I personally know about who have had bad encounters with the Bigfoot have been those that have been toting guns and have been aggressive toward the Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And we humans wouldn't appreciate that either.
So what you're suggesting is if we go out in the forest, chance maybe bring a little snack or something, some little thing to show them that we're at peace with their kind?
They can feel your vibrations. I mean, they gravitate. Actually, I begin to think that maybe more women see them than men simply because they're not as aggressive as a general rule. And that's not across the board, of course, but they can tell your intentions. I'll mention a man who really developed a great relationship with the Bigfoot. He was he had to retire early from being a deputy sheriff in Florida because he had cancer.
Oh.
And he moved to a remote place here in the mountains. He started doing organic gardening. There was like nobody else around where he lived. And he had a number of things that he encounters that developed into something really nice. Like one night he was sitting on his porch and he had a light by his gravel road by his garage, and he saw a family of Bigfoot crossing the road, and that became a regular pattern. And then eventually the male Bigfoot would come down to his garden when he would garden, and they developed a type of friendship, and the man would share things from his garden with the Bigfoot, and the Bigfoot was never greedy about it. And so
no, that's the thing.
That's a man who was able to develop a nice relationship. I didn't want to make it sound like it's just the women.
No, I mean, no, I'm sure it's kind of, you know, not there's no sexism involved there. I'm sure even probably, you know, trannies probably get along with them pretty good too as well. All right, let's go ahead and get to a couple questions for you. Mary Joyce coming through fast on our chat line here. But Rose says, Mary, what do you know about the Brown Mountain Lights in North Carolina?
They're about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from me. They're further east from where I live in the Western Mountains. I've seen them. They act a little bit more like orbs than they do like the UFOs that we see around here. We see things that have absolute structure to them. The Brown Mountain Lights that I saw were very much more like orbs.
Mm-hmm. Have people been, I don't want to say abducted is a word, but have people come up missing when those lights, Brown Mountain Lights, appear?
If that's happened, I'm not aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's get to another question for you. What is the now we're going to underground bases here. Well, let me stick in the Bigfoot realm too before we get to that. Let's get to this question. It says, this is from Missouri. It says, what's your best example of a verifiable picture of a Bigfoot? Are there any verifiable pictures?
I have not posted any. Wait, I do. That's not true. There is one that somebody was out canoeing in a swamp in Florida and happened to have his camera in his canoe, and he saw a Bigfoot, and it was chasing a snake to eat, And it was pretty convincing. It really, really was. But the vast majority of them are so blurry that it's hard to think of them as being, you know, convincing. Very hard. And they don't want their pictures taken. And they can tell when you have a camera. And they're not going to be helpful at all.
No, they're not going to be helpful. I mean, a lot of them are camera shy. They don't got a chance to put makeup, straighten their hair. And then a lot of them are gnarly looking, I guess, that way, you know. But it is odd that almost every picture is as blurry as it is now, but it just seems with today's cameras that's kind of not working. This blurry camera business isn't working now. I mean, it might have worked back in the 80s or 90s with those big old honking things you used to carry around, but not with today's cell phones at 12 megapixels a shot, and they're still coming out grainy. But I might give them an out on that. How about this? I have had a number of Bigfoot people on the show, and they really agree with you on that they have some sort of...
they're very telepathic.
Telepathic, and they know your intentions. But now some people have suggested that they're interdimensional, but maybe, regardless of that, maybe they have a power to where their intellect or sense to sees the camera and blurs that camera by their special powers.
You can't rule that out. You really, really can't, because they, like I said, they have very strong telepathic powers that are better than most humans.
Mm. I'm wondering, do you think that we could trick them? Say, like, let's just say I had a 45 around the back of my pocket here, and I was going to shoot one. Just say, I'm not saying I would. But then I thought I'd be thinking, la-dee-da, I want to pick some daffodils, you know, I want to pick some daffodils and feed them to the nearest Bigfoot. Do you think that they would be onto my trick?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I guess I wouldn't work with it. Okay.
Because they would be aware of your ultimate intention.
Man, it'd be kind of hard. Now, you know, a lot of people do suggest that they're interdimensional. There are so many times, Mary Joyce, where people, they show the classic Bigfoot prints, and there'll be like a print out in the middle of nowhere, or maybe there'll be a couple, and then it goes nowhere. Do you think when that happens, when they go nowhere, they're going into the portal of some kind?
His last name is Johnson. He's a doctor. He has set up habituation sites for the Bigfoot out in Washington State and in the Olympic Mountains. And he went from being totally afraid of Bigfoot and wanting nothing to do with them to actually befriending them and getting to know quite a bit about them. Mm-hmm. That took a bunch of years to get to that point. He's one of those that... claims that he has actually seen them disappear into a portal.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about Matthew Johnson?
Yes.
Dr. Johnson? Hey, if you ever get a hold of
him. Have you had him on your show?
No, I was going to say, I might reach out to him, but if you know him, man, send him a quick note, say he needs to be on his show.
Because he's had experiences a lot of people haven't had.
Yeah, very interesting.
If you want to get to know a little bit about him, I have, under the Bigfoot section mm-hmm. on our website, I've done 3 articles in sequence about him and his experiences, and they go beyond what most people have had with Bigfoot.
Yeah, well beyond from what I can see just from your website there. Rapid Fire says, are Bigfoot able to communicate with humans? Is it all telepathic, or do you think, I mean, a lot of times there's these people can hear these screams. I don't know if they're trying to talk or what's going on there.
Well, there's a scream, but they also can talk. I'm probably going to go blank on the man's name, but there is somebody who was did linguistics with the military for, like, I think 30 years, and he got recordings and slowed them down. And his conclusion was that the Bigfoot speak very, very rapidly, and when he slows it down, he can actually hear words that are, you know, a language.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yes, they communicate at that level, too.
From recordings I've heard, a lot of times that chatter, that Bigfoot chatter when there's multiple big feet, it almost sounds like Japanese.
Yes. In fact, you're bringing up stuff I've had up so long ago I can't even tell you where to find it. But there is a recording that was done by Ron Moorhead, I believe, mm-hmm. and it's called Samurai Chatter. If you go to the BFRO, it's B-R-O. Bigfoot Research.
Yeah, BFRO.
It's actually labeled Samurai Bigfoot, and it's worth listening to.
Mm. Okay. Do you think that that Bigfoot go in underground bases? Could they do, say, if they're not materializing and dematerializing? Is it possible that they have portal or some kind of or trap doors? Because some people have claimed that they hear noises that sound like a door. In fact, David Pilates of Missing 411 kind of went down the Bigfoot route a little bit about that and talking about hearing noises that may sound, that people have claimed are metallic noises. He didn't relate them to Bigfoot, but he related them to missing persons as if one was really listening. You could almost hear him think or suggest that missing persons are because Bigfoots are taking them in these underground bases.
I was at one of his lectures, and I asked him that point blank, and he said that he denied that. Now, maybe he has changed his position over time. I do not know, but he did. He was not blaming the Bigfoot for the disappearance of people. Mm-hmm. It's more likely they would be ETs.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there are some bad ETs. I mean, really bad. And some of them that are known as the Dominators refer to the Earth as the farm, and this is where they come to.
Okay, I got to say the Dominator sounds kind of kinky. So I don't know if I'll,
it sounds really awful. Yes.
Yeah, it sounds like they got whips and stuff going on there. What do you think the lifespan of a Bigfoot is?
I usually hear something around the neighborhood of maybe 200 years.
Hmm. Okay. And then I would account for that probably good nutrition out there, probably all organic.
Oh, that's interesting. We did a lot of experiments with food, and we would put it out on a path where the Bigfoot came on a regular basis. And they weren't, they preferred the organic apples to the ones that had chemicals on them.
Called it.
And I found that really interesting. It's like their little nose works pretty well, and they don't want the junky stuff.
Yeah. And I bet chemtrails.
They're not real keen on vegetables. No. We put out different kinds of vegetables. Everything from asparagus, which they tasted and then spit it out.
Can't blame them.
Yeah, I mean, they're sort of like American, or like children, human children. And it's hard to get children to eat the vegetables.
Mm. Yeah.
And they love fruit. They love nuts.
What about broccoli?
I know. Oh, we didn't try broccoli, but we did try asparagus.
Can't.
They didn't like the cucumber either. So
that sounds to me that'd be a way to make them mad if you give them like a cucumber or a broccoli or asparagus. I mean, that's going to make them mad. They could go off on you.
Actually, it was really kind of fun doing that experiment, and the reaction to the containers we put the food in was also interesting. Anything that had a handle on it or a lid where they might get their hand stuck in it, they would not reach into it. They would tip it over and get it. When we finally put out a basket without a handle, they took the basket and took it down the trail, devoured the food, and then left the basket there. But they weren't about to put their hands into we had a cooler for a six-pack. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to reach in there.
Wow, a meat eater doesn't want a six-pack. I don't understand him at all. You know, my goal tonight was to make you laugh, and I think I hit it earlier than I thought. This is Mary Joyce, this is a show you can laugh on. You can let your hair down on this show.
Okay.
But, I'm sure that it really makes, chemtrails probably really makes them mad and nauseous, too. I mean, they're probably looking at the sky going, like that.
Hadn't actually thought about that one, but
I mean, it makes me mad, so you know,
right?
Which, by the way, I didn't want to. I'll veer into politics just a little bit because you mentioned the left and right sort of paradigm. Now we're mentioning Bigfoot. Now you mentioned, and then put with that vegetarianism. There's this Bullwinkle looking guy that was, and of course,
the invasion.
Mm-hmm. Right, we're totally against violence of any kind, and it was horribly wrong. That being said, let's focus on the Bullwinkle guy. They arrested him, but he's on a hunger strike because he is a vegetarian. Now, that right there tells you.
And he's also into only organic food, and his mother even spoke up for him and said, he gets very sick if he doesn't have organic food.
Right, of course he does. Right. He probably got a skateboard too and a backpack. But my thing is, he's not on the right, because there ain't no such a person on the right. Okay, those people are on the left. See, he kind of exposed himself right there. He, you know, he's kind of like that. All right, let's move on from there. And I think we're going to be we'll finish up with this here from Melody. Have they ever found a Bigfoot body or skeleton?
No. And I don't have all the answers. All I do is mm-hmm. keep trying to find the answers.
Right.
And according to Dr. Johnson, he says they will just go through the portal and disappear. According to people around here where they actually have Bigfoot living on their land, they claim that the Bigfoot bury their dead, just like we do. And the area where this is there are caves. And one of the men actually took me out at the top of one of these ridges, and you take a gravel road, and then we walked about a half mile into the woods. And he had a machete just to make a pass so we could walk. Mm-hmm. And got to see one of the larger caves, and it was like 8 feet across and about 5 feet tall, and deep enough so that I could not see the back of it. And I was too chicken to go into it.
Wow.
But we did hear the Bigfoot making sounds in the area when we went there. And we also saw the footprints. So it definitely was a mm-hmm. Bigfoot location.
Mm-hmm. My wife and I, Susan, we were out in the woods walking down a path. And in the woods was a sound that sounded like a car door. Like right 3 feet away from us. Now, 3 feet away from us, there's no parking lot where we were at in the woods. There was none. It was metallic. It was like a thunk, just like that. And I'm thinking, that's not a tree. Trees don't do that. You know what a car door sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
It was like that, only more solid. It sounded like something closing. It wasn't any forest sound. And because of what I heard on Missing 411, I've been kind of attuned to listening for sounds. And in fact, she made some, we heard something out in the forest making some crazy noise, and she's projected it back, and they responded like, "Wow, she's having a conversation with something out in the woods." And it was, so you never know what's out there. By the way, in general, are Bigfoot nocturnal, or are they daytime creatures?
They tend to hunt at night.
Mm-hmm.
That's not absolute, but that's more common than not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And was their general diet deer and such, or?
They're like we are. They're are like most people are. They're omnivores, mm-hmm. and they will eat deer. When I was out at a reservation in South Dakota, the Pine Ridge Reservation, I got to hear about some of the Bigfoot and the little people that they have out there. And some hunters actually had kind of a very scary experience with the Bigfoot, because the Bigfoot was hunting, and they came in, and just as the Bigfoot was about to get the deer, they were trying to get it. Well, he was very upset. He was shaking their truck, and you know, mm-hmm. they were just out there for the fun of it, and he mm-hmm. probably really needed the food.
Wow. So it was a battle out there in the forest?
No forest really out there. That's open prairie land, desert-like.
The Bigfoot was out in the prairie?
Yeah. Well, not a prairie. It's flat land like you would see out in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bigfoot were seen along the ravines and along the rivers or the
mm-hmm.
creeks.
Mm-hmm. So they don't always then hang out in the forest. They could be anywhere where, say, there's less human population.
They try to avoid us. Down in Florida, they hang out in the swamps, and they're actually known in Florida as swamp apes. Here, they tend to hang out in the forest lands.
Mm-hmm.
Out in the far west, they're just in the mountains. It doesn't matter if it's winter, summer, whatever it is. They seem very much at home there.
Mm-hmm. I was watching a classic Bigfoot show on, I don't know, Amazon or something, and one of the stories, the guy said that he actually shot one several times. I think he said he killed it or wounded it, but he said when he went back into town, or somebody told somebody he did it, that somehow federal agents got wind and came out there and cordoned the area off, and he said they took it. Have you heard stories like that?
I have not.
And it makes you wonder.
But it's not anything that I could verify. Mm-hmm. No.
Makes you kind of wonder how much, with all of our conversations being monitored, I wonder if they have an artificial intelligence algorithm that looks for I shot a Bigfoot. You know, say like you text somebody and then all of a sudden it goes to the NSA or whoever the hell's, I'm sorry about that, whoever's watching our conversations, and we know everybody's watching every conversation we have. So there may be something that if you put so many words together that triggers them. I mean, it's sort of like I've heard that there are UFO retrieval teams. If somebody talks, finds a, says UFO crash, whatever, somehow somebody else finds out about it before anybody else does.
Right. And in fact, they, according to one of the witnesses that I wrote about, he said that there were two teams. There would be one team that would go out there and do the retrieval. There'd be another team that would be out there convincing the public that they didn't see what they saw.
Disinvol.
And disinformation still is part of this game.
I was called disinfo today on my Facebook because I suggested that Trump's not going to be the president. So I was instantly labeled as a traitor and disinfo agent. I thought, wow, okay. All right, let's get to this question here. Josh just asked a simple question. Mary, what do you think Bigfoot are?
There's a doctor, her name is Dr. Melba Ketchum. She took a lot of grief when she first came up with her research, which said that the Bigfoot on the maternal side or the mother side is human, and on the father's side it is some unknown primate. But after a couple of years and other doctors and scientists doing research, they confirmed her findings. So in a sense, they may be distant cousins of us.
Distant cousins. So in the evolutionary chain, you got your little bitty monkey. If you've seen that, the drawing, like in all science room, you got your little monkey, like that. And then he, right. Like he starts getting smarter, and he starts, you know, he's like, all of a sudden he starts looking around, right? He's getting taller, and all of a sudden his, he gets good posture, his back's getting straight, and then he turns into a Cro-Magnon, and then he turns into a human, and then he turns into a transhuman. They haven't put that one in there, but the next one's transhuman. But where in that monkey to man thing does the Bigfoot fit?
I don't see it that way. I see it as we're in a very, this is a very old planet, and I think there's been a lot of genetic experimentation over time. I mean, we've had giants, we've had people with big heads and small heads and all sorts of variations. I just think we're on a planet where a lot of experimentation's been done. And perhaps including us.
Wow. Okay. Perhaps we're the Bigfoot and they're the normal humans. Who knows? Now somebody said, made this suggestion here. I think they're playing off the fact that so many dead people voted Democrat, but they said maybe perhaps Bigfoot are voting for the Democrat Party. But I think we just discussed it, that Bigfoot in general are nonpartisan.
They are not involved with our politics. I do know that. They simply want to avoid us no matter what designation we give ourselves.
Right. Gotcha. And I would agree with that there. Melody says, or asks the question, says, Mary, what other countries have reported Bigfoot sightings? Many cultures speak of these. What is the oldest recorded Bigfoot sighting?
I don't know the oldest one. I do know that many countries have them. China, Russia are two of the main ones where there's been multiple reports of Bigfoot being there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't always have the same name, but they are basically a same creature.
Mm-hmm.
One of the gals who has had Bigfoot living on her property since she was a child is she's so good at communicating with them and so knowledgeable that she was invited by over to Siberia with one of their research projects. And she talked about how different the Bigfoot are. She said they'll have different skin color, they'll have different eye color, they will have different personalities. We usually only just see pictures of blurs and we think they all look the same, and according to her, they don't.
Well, that's interesting. So they're sort of like, now people talk about races, human different races, but really there's only one race, the human race. So does that apply to Bigfoot or just one race, or are there multiple races of Bigfoot?
There, all I can say is there's variations, just like variations. We have variations in humans.
Yeah.
But they would be one cluster of creature.
Now, do Bigfoot ever get into gardening or anything? They ever plant a vegetable? Well, you just said they don't like vegetables. I can understand that. Do they say, like, raise hogs?
They're very particular about which ones they eat. Like the man who did the gardening, the Bigfoot came and did use or eat some of the things that he grew. Oh, so okay. I don't know what they were, but they did.
Well, I mean, is it possible that Bigfoot, would like get on a horse and do a rodeo or, you know, raise cattle or anything like that?
I doubt it. They seem to be foragers and hunters.
Okay. Here's a question: says do they hunt human mates? Are they looking for a date? Any of them looking for a date?
You do have to wonder if the maternal side is female, if there has been some messing around in the Bigfoot garden at some point or another. So you can't rule that out.
This question will put y'all away first out of the live chat. And all these questions generally are coming from our live chat, which is on our YouTube streaming channel, which is streaming and or website. So come from two different places. But it says, do you know what happened to a Lieutenant Colonel SC who lives in North Carolina? Have you ever heard of Lieutenant Colonel SC?
I don't know him, no.
Okay. All right. He was on the show for a while, but he did say he lived in North Carolina. He had a lot of crazy things to say, too. Does the FBI or CIA, have they ever addressed the theory? Because it seems lately, Mary Joyce, that they've been sort of, kind of, maybe addressing the UFO.
All right, what's the question?
Have any of the three-letter agencies, CIA, FBI, anybody ever addressed the Bigfoot theory, as some would call it a theory? Have they said, you know, it's just a hoax, we don't pay no attention? Or have they ever said, we're looking into it, or they just never answer a question about it?
I think they take the same approach they do with UFOs. They kind of like try to tiptoe around it and avoid the whole subject. There was one report from a woman who said that this Bigfoot, when he was dying, was very, very upset because he had essentially become friends with somebody in the military or within the military and had trusted them, and they had put an implant in him and were tracking him, and he was really, really, really upset by that. So maybe the Bigfoot are being used. Who knows?
I just don't see even attempting to make a Bigfoot mask. Seems like he'd rip your arm off and hit you in the head with it.
I agree. I won't make a mat either.
All right. Doreen 8959 says, Mary, do you think the Bigfoot is a military experiment gone wrong?
No. I don't.
Some people have referred to Bigfoot as Species 7, indicate that it is a government program. Have you ever heard it referred to as a Species 7?
The Bigfoot go way back before we would have any government that could do those kind of things.
Right, I would agree with you there, definitely. I mean, I understand there's Teddy Roosevelt maybe had a round with a couple of Bigfoot out when he was hunting or something like that, didn't he?
I don't know.
Okay. All right, moving on to... let's get into some of this underground base stuff. I got some of the pictures from your website, and I guess we'll move from the Bigfoot lair to underground bases. Do you think that the creation, the building of these underground bases is what's causing low vibration tones to come up from the earth and or tremors or earthquakes?
Absolutely. I've written in the book that I have, which is Underground Bases Hidden in North Carolina Mountains. I've written about five different bases. One of the sheriff people in this area had gone to where one of these sites is, and he put his ear against a rock that was near the site, and he could hear like machinery and stuff beneath the ground. There's also been tunneling done. Years ago I did a story about somebody who they were feeling all these vibrations underneath their house. It only lasted for X amount of time, and then it stopped. There were several people, and you could kind of connect these places, and it was like, all right, the tunnel must have been being created along that line. So yeah, you can hear vibrations and sometimes feel vibrations. Part of it would be while it's being constructed. Part of it is there is activity going on underneath there, so the machinery could be running also.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's so-called document dumps are supposed to happen in the next few days in Washington about various political things. I'm not seeing it because Washington never dumps any document. They always claim that, hey, we got to look at it because it could have confidential classified information. And once they say that, that means no document's going to be seen ever. But that being said, in the last remaining days, you think the current president should just rip that Band-Aid off and disclose what the government knows about UFOs? What the heck? He's leaving.
You're trying to pull me into a political discussion with you, and I won't do it.
I'm talking about UFOs.
You were talking about the last days and ripping it off and talking about it. So
okay. Well, that's because I've heard chatter.
I don't think it's ever going to be that dramatic.
Okay.
I think things get leaked out slowly. At one time, I think the government was keeping it from the public back in after World War II because they honestly thought that it would scare the you-know-what out of people, and they didn't think the public was ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
They have been covering up for so long that now they don't want to come right out and admit to the things they've done. So things are just, they almost have to be forced to reveal things. So the disclosure is going to continue to come from the bottom up, and it's going to force the officials to, reveal things.
Mm. Well, I was thinking it would be a great unifier if we all were told there's UFOs at the same time. All right, let's move on.
That was President Reagan's idea, you know.
Yeah.
What if somebody was going to invade Earth from somewhere else? Wouldn't we all unite?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was his theory.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd work. I mean, we put away our petty differences, wouldn't you think? So do these aliens live in these underground bases?
There are some notorious places. The closest I can come to, like, Dulce, which is out west, would be a place under the Pisgah Mountains. And that is, we had witnesses who saw a number of years ago animals in cages being brought into this facility. And why? Why were they doing that? I don't know, but the creepiest stories are out west.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get to another question here. This person writes says, do they have underground bases under the airports?
Denver Airport comes to mind. I mean, there's been so many reports of activity beneath that airport, and there was so much digging done, and so many piles of dirt that were, you know, found around that place for quite a while. And, that would be a real good example of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is kind of back to the Bigfoot question. Is there a difference between Bigfoot and Sasquatch? That's the same thing, isn't it?
It's the same thing. And you got to remember that both terms are relatively new. I have one story in my book about the Bigfoot, and it comes from the Civil War. They didn't have those terms, and the soldier wrote about the forest people.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been called, you know, and the different tribes have names for them too.
Mm-hmm.
But Sasquatch and Bigfoot are relatively new terms.
Now, you think did the pilgrims, when they come over here, is there any recorded history that they saw them?
If there is, I certainly don't know about it.
Hmm. Okay. Let's get some more questions going here. Are Bigfoot an ancient civilization that went underground after the big flood?
The civilizations that went in the big flood, like Atlantis in the Atlantic and Lemuria or Mu or Pan in the Pacific, were highly evolved civilizations. There is nothing about the Bigfoot that shows that they are technologically evolved in any way whatsoever. So mm-hmm. I would tend to think not.
Mm-hmm. Have you personally seen a UFO?
Yes.
What did it look like?
I've seen several. The first time I ever saw them was when I was living in Florida, and I lived on Cocoa Beach between Patrick Air Force Base and the Kennedy Space Center. And you would see them whenever they were going to have a launch. To help back up what I'm saying, I got to know one of the astronauts and a number of the engineers, and they acknowledge that they're there. They can't do it publicly. If they do, they get in a lot of trouble. Clark McClellan, who you may have heard of, was an astronaut. He made the mistake of going public when he saw a tall alien in the open bay of the space shuttle.
Wow.
And his career came to a screeching halt.
Well, see, that's the way they do you. Anybody who's got truth these days gets canceled. Sounds like they were doing canceling even back then.
Yeah, and what was that, the 70s, 80s?
Mm-hmm. So. Well, they've been canceling people for a long time. Are there underground high-speed rail systems in place?
Yes.
You know,
I've gotten confirmation of that from people who've been in the military who've been willing to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. I had a guest on the show that claims that he takes a high-speed train through wormholes to go to Mars. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Not put in words like that.
Yeah. And he says it costs him about $20.
There. You know that's not to be listened to.
What?
Not $20. You don't do anything that exciting for $20.
Crap. You mean, was he pulling my chain? He had me going there for a minute.
I'm sure. I didn't know you had one, but yeah. He probably was.
Well, I think you get a discount. I mean, I figured you get a discount, but $20 did seem kind of light for such a... But it's a quick travel, too. So.
But they do have some means of getting to Mars that is quick, that you don't have to take, you know, a long time space vehicle to get there. Mm-hmm. And whenever you hear the military or the government talk about future projects on Mars, they're probably already doing it. Mm-hmm. And when I was using Google Earth with Mars, I found like biospheres, two of them, one toward the North Pole and one toward the South Pole. They were blurry, but they looked more like the ones that Brian Verseg, I think is his name. Mm-hmm. He designs those kind of things for future space projects, and it looks so similar. It was unbelievable.
So if a gnarly looking reptilian, but I currently have my background, you probably can't see, you probably see green, but if they invited you to say, hey, Mary, would you like to go for a trip, you know, to...
With
a
reptilian?
Planet Xenon.
Oh, no way. I'm not going with a reptilian anywhere.
Okay, so what species would you enjoy taking a trip with?
The ones that I hear the most about that seems to be very positive would be the ones known as the Nordics or the Pleiadians.
Mm-hmm. And them's the good ones?
They seem to be.
Now, are they wearing spacesuits?
I guess you could call them that. Not spacesuits like we humans wear, but like the tight-fitting suits, that seems to be more common.
Mm.
But some of these can blend in with our society.
Seem like the Nordics
can pass.
As tight as it looks like from visualizing, it seemed like it'd give them a rash.
What can I say? I'm sure they have a cure for that, too.
Well, that's it. And that's good. Now, there's a good point you bring up there. Are they ever going to give us the cure for diseases?
I know about the healings that they've done. I know about a woman who grew up when her dad was in a high security position, I mean super high, and she talked about sometimes their experiments would go wrong and it would pollute the waters around this facility where they were living and working. And she talked about UFOs coming in and clearing up the muck that was being released by mistake. Wow. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. It reminds me, you talk about cleaning up the muck. It seemed like a while ago, the Environmental Protection Agency pulled the wrong lever somewhere out west, and tons of toxic waste went into the river, and nobody went to jail. I think, well, what's up with that? I don't know. I don't know how they get away with that. All right. Okay, so the aliens are here, and it's only a matter of time before we have disclosure. What way do you think that would actually come? Are we, is it still going to be this trickle-out stuff, occasional tic-tac video?
It will continue to come out that way unless something so undeniable happens that they can no longer do that. They allow certain things out. For example, Jimmy Carter has talked about seeing a UFO. Reagan's talked about seeing a UFO. Do they ever elaborate on it? No. But these little things keep trickling out, and I think that will continue until they can't do that anymore.
Okay, well, I'm going to take both of us out of our picture, and I'm going to, because you may not be able to see from your end, I'll tell you what we're looking at. I got these from your website, so let me get over here and get these out of here, get myself out of here, and check that. Okay, so here I'm going to show from your website. It is what apparently looks like a an oval, an entrance to somewhere. Where is this thing at here? Call it a structure. Let me bring it down as a structure. Okay, let me start with the blue structures. There are, and I can't tell. Now, these look like underwater pictures. Maybe these are the pictures that we referred to in the first hour of this person that had a stroke. But there apparently is, you can Google Earth and see structures.
That's probably what you're seeing, yeah.
Yeah, they're blue. And they're
Because they're underwater.
Right, because they're underwater. And now the picture we're looking at, it looks like columns supporting a huge round gondola or disc type structure.
Right, I know what you're talking about. That was first discovered in 2014. It's off the coast of Malibu. It's a huge structure. The roof of it looks like a big, heavy slab of cement.
Right, exactly.
And it's, I think, about 2 miles across, something like that. And it has columns. So you have a roof, and then columns like this, and the columns are like 600 feet tall. Mm-hmm. People have speculated that it's perhaps a place where UFOs fly into, because so many UFOs have been seen in that particular area off the coast of California. Mm-hmm. That is the image that inspired me earlier at the very beginning of this year to start exploring the entire coast, because if that is an ancient piece of civilization, well, maybe there's some more. And I found three more going down the coast.
Mm-hmm. And I'm showing another one. It looks like a giant rectangle. It's very long. Did you say that first, I'm going to bring back the picture we were just talking about. Did you say that was 2 miles wide, long?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. All right, so let me get to structure number three here. That's not the one I want here. I want to get to what's called, it looks like maybe... well, that's Mars. Okay, well, let's talk about that. Actually, we're going back and forth from the Earth to Mars. So,
okay, I've got this right here. And if people, after the show's over, you can go to the website, skyshipsovercashers.com. On the left-hand side of the page, there is one of the categories. It's called Global Links. And if you just open up Global Links and start scrolling down, you will see these different underwater structures that I have found, and also the woman who has had the stroke. And one of those I describe as looking like a blue underground Twinkie.
Yeah.
And it's four miles long. It's near the, you can find it by just typing in Isle of Coronado in Google Earth. And it's so big that it's bigger than that island.
Yeah.
It's just,
I actually, I have that, they're looking at it now, and I couldn't describe it to you, but Twinkie is the perfect description for that.
It looks blue Twinkie with, and you can see the portico going around it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see, if you scroll down from there, the next one looks like the footprint of some kind of a community.
Got
and it.
It
has nothing but right angles to it.
Right.
And I measured it, which is one of the things you can do with Google Earth, which is very, very helpful. And there's a yellow line in that photo, and it's the length of 15 football fields. So I use that as a comparison, because all of us can envision how long one football field is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right off the coast of Long Beach and Huntington Beach, California.
Yeah. So I have that picture up, that is, and we see the yellow line there. Definitely right angles don't occur naturally, as far as I know, in nature. So it definitely
not
looks
like that. not like that.
Yeah, and it definitely looks like some kind of architecture of some sort. But we're not speculating that that's in any way Atlantis, are we?
This is all in the Pacific. So if it's an ancient civilization, it would be Lemuria.
So these pictures that we're showing and that are on your website there, are you saying that somebody would just Google Earth can find these things?
And what I've done on many of these, I give people information on how they can go about and find it. For example, the next one is right off of a town called Gorda, California. So you could just type in Gorda, California on Google Earth, and you would find it right offshore there. Mm-hmm. And this looks, I don't know, sort of like strips that in a farmer's field, or maybe somebody getting creative in mowing on the golf course.
Wow.
And there's nothing else like that along the whole coast. Mm-hmm. So you go, that's not nature. That has been, that's something. And it's not small. In one direction, it's 25 miles. In another direction, it's 28 miles. Mm-hmm. And even the strips within it are between a mile to almost a mile and a half across.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at some sort of stone structure. And I think on your website, you have the caption, explain this. It looks like concrete, the residue of a concrete structure that's broken down. It clearly appears to be built. What do you think that is?
Now we're on Mars, so we don't confuse anybody.
Right, we just went to Mars.
And we found this, you know, people find this by using the satellite facilities that are available to us. And it looks like a door lintel. And a door is made with a post on each side and the lintel across the top, and that's very much how it looks.
Hmm.
And now that indicates an ancient structure.
I don't know if it's a typo or something, but there's a little red dot at the base of that. Do you see that?
Yeah, that's there because the original photo, somebody was wanting to point out this object. Mm-hmm. So it's a pointing device.
Mm-hmm. Now we're looking at... what appears, I think they said ice melted, so I'm not really sure where this is. I just started grabbing stuff from your website. But ice melted into some kind of...
You're being very organized. It's very nice for me because I can use my own page here and scroll down with you.
Oh, great.
And you can see a disc, and it's been revealed because the ice in Antarctica is melting. Mm-hmm. And about half of this disc can be seen, and it's not small. It's about 60 feet in diameter.
Hmm. Okay, let's see what else we can. How about what we would call a skid, an object skidding on? Is that Mars?
Okay, now we go back up to the top, right?
Right.
Okay, that again was found by using Google Earth, and I really am trying to encourage people to become detectives. This is one where I have the coordinates, so you can just copy and paste them on Google Earth and find it for yourself. Again, I used the measurement. There's a yellow line there. That's 4,422 feet in length, so it was a really long skid. Mm-hmm. And what appears to be a UFO is 406 feet long and 365 feet across. It appears that it landed with such force that it heated up, and you can see kind of a gold-yellow color across it.
Yeah, in the zoom picture, which we have up now of that particular thing, there's definitely something almost perfectly circular there. Is that part of the object?
Yes. Yes.
And then the glowing sort of end piece there, that's almost triangular in some way, is that part of it?
That looks like the back end of it, you know, from what I can see. It obviously didn't land the way it wanted to.
Hmm. Hmm.
Because you wouldn't want to land smashing into the surface of Mars, which is what has happened.
Well, I wouldn't want to smash into Mars either, actually. Is there any telescope that can zoom into Mars' surface where we could see anything, or do we always have to rely on JPL or NASA, somebody to give us those pictures?
To get things with this kind of detail, you have to depend on the satellites that are circling the planet. There may be some telescope, but you can only zero in on a little part of a planet with a telescope.
Those are you aware of the what people are calling an obelisk that appeared out west and then a couple of places around the world, just like out in the middle of the desert?
I have not pursued that because it to me it looks like a hoax. Mm-hmm. But I'm certainly going to be open-minded if somebody finds some legitimate reason for it, but it just sounds like a hoax to me.
Well, they could have tested that. All they had to do is bring a monkey out there and have him touch it, and if he starts, you know, starts talking, then you know that's it.
Well, there's a test for you. I wouldn't have thought of that one.
Cowboy.
Oh.
It's cowboy right here. We own this thing. Okay, so these...
You're a cowboy. Where do you live?
Indiana.
Are you real cowboys there?
If you have a hat, you are. Now, people have questioned
I lived in Texas for a while, not a long time, but I got used to everybody wearing cowboy hats, which when I came back to the other side of the country, all the men looked nude without their hats on.
Yeah. Them sissy boys, they don't got a hat, them sissy boys. You got a hat, you got a Stetson, that's all it takes to be a cowboy, so yeah.
I'll have to send you a picture of me with my rifle and out in Texas. And also, I went to the Sweetwater Rattlesnake Roundup. So I've got a picture of me holding rattlesnake in my cowboy outfit. So
even though
I look really brave, I was scared to death.
It put the hat on you. It's like a superpower, man.
Superpower. You feel like you can do anything.
Yeah. Take on some aliens, especially them nasty. Hey, by the way, speaking of nasty reptilians, have you ever heard of Orgon?
Yeah, but not enough to be able to say.
I mean, some people claim it's an alien repellent, and I've not been able to prove that.
I don't know. Sounds like a good idea.
All right.
You know, some of these people who have abduction experiences, I feel terribly sorry for them. And one of the men who was in charge of one of the MUFON groups down in Florida, he was just a nuts and bolts guy, but he kept running into these people who had been abducted. And he eventually became quite different in his position on the whole subject. And he found that those who prayed for God's intervention or whoever they, you know, choose to believe in, and that would stop the abductions. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I don't think any good aliens should be abducting and terrorizing people, period. I just don't think that's right.
Now, people in the chat have pointed out that you've lassoed me a couple times, but I got to say, when I get you to laugh, I'm lassoing you. So I think we got a draw.
Okay.
Just having some fun here. Okay, so yeah, and somebody basically just asked the question we asked, is there a telescope that can... Oh, no, it's kind of different. Is there a telescope that can focus on the flag that's supposed to be on the moon?
It's a good question. Don't know.
I always heard the excuse on that was the flag's on the other side of the moon, so you wouldn't be able to see it, and the moon doesn't spin. Is that a plausible explanation?
And the most interesting part of the moon is the other side, and you can clearly see on some of the earlier photos where airbrushing has been done to cover up the structures. And some of the astronauts have leaked out that they did indeed see civilization on the backside of the moon.
Mm. Now, isn't there some audio out there where one of the astronauts saying, there they are?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, how does that get explained away?
Those are the exact words, but to that effect, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've written several books. Looks like its most recent books are Bigfoot Beyond the Footprints, Underground Military Bases Hidden in North Carolina Mountains, Cherokee Little People Were Real, and Tangible Evidence of Jesus Left Behind for Us to Find. I find that one pretty intriguing. Have you ever been on a show and talked about Tangible Evidence of Jesus?
I actually, one of the earlier shows with George Norrie, I talked about it. But most of the people who have me on their show usually want to talk about the other three.
Hmm. Well, they all scared of Jesus?
Probably.
It's
an interesting book because the people who think everything is in the Bible figure they don't need to read anything else because it's all there. And then those who are on the other side of this, you know, they just figure it's just going to be another one of those religious books. And so it's kind of an odd book. But I focus on actual archaeological and scientific findings that only expand on who Jesus was and his role on the earth.
Wow. I mean, that what inspired you to write a book like that? It almost seemed like it's off the beaten trail for you.
Like I said, curiosity will take you anywhere.
Well, I don't think any subject should be taboo. And in fact, if you look at our guest list here, you asked me earlier, how did I have a guy on here talking about taking high-speed trains to Mars? I mean, I kind of leave this platform open to anybody who's got a story that can put it together. Sounds plausible, but because the thing of it, go ahead.
Now, in defense of whoever this person is, there are indications that they have a very fast way of transporting people from here to Mars.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
It's felt real hard to prove that, though.
Yeah. And another thing of it is, I don't question somebody, unless I saw that they didn't take the train, then I can't say they didn't. And that goes really with a lot of subjects. And so if you look at our guest list, you'll see so many various subjects. So I feel like everybody has some truth. And you know, just work to get the nuggets out and see where the truth leads us. And I'm not afraid of following the truth if it goes against some kind of core belief, but if it's still truth. And that's a thing. No, I'm just going to chat with you a little bit here.
Yeah, go ahead.
On truth, I've had people on the show that says your truth. It may not be my truth. And I'm thinking, it seems like there's one truth. How can truth be truth if everybody can have a truth? What do you? What say you?
It's probably a misuse of the word truth. I agree with you that truth is truth. And when people use the term that way, they're probably indicating that we all maybe are limited in how much we can see of the truth. I don't know. Mm. But
well, I think the Bible says we see through a glass darkly, but right. We will see clearly. I mean, so the lens that we're looking at life through really is kind of dark because we're still searching because people aren't giving us the truth, Mary. It's like people such as yourself got to go out and get it.
I know.
And, I hate that.
I know. You're right.
I mean, really,
truth is truth, and I agree with you. It's either is or isn't. Mm. And I just think it's a misuse of using the word.
Mm-hmm.
Your
mm-hmm.
reality and my reality might be different.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say something. I'm not going to be political about it because I don't want my hand smacked again with the ruler. I think you got a ruler there earlier.
I'm resisting being political with you.
But I was going to say the system is scared of the truth. That I can say. Can you agree with that?
They don't want to share the truth. I'll agree with that.
Mm-hmm. And I hate that. I hate people hiding the truth. Just let it out.
I do.
What's
too?
The problem?
I do too.
Mm.
And when stuff is hidden, then people make up what they don't have the answer to, and then it gets even more garbled.
Mm. Wow. That's right. And that's where everybody tries to give their... But you know what, though? If you follow that really closely, you'll find that people's views may be attached to a monetary benefit from it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it seems like everybody's struggling for that monetary stuff. Now, I've had people on the show, and I don't mind talking about their books. I want to talk about your books. I want to talk about how people get your books. But there are, you can tell if somebody, because I've done over 1,000 interviews, I don't know if you know, since 2004. I've been on one of the longest running shows on the net.
Yeah, got me beat. Our website's only been up since 2008.
So, well, look at that. So, I mean, I started right back in the Art Bell days, but...
He was the inspiration for a lot of people.
He was. In fact, he's one of my inspirations. Great, great, great nighttime guy there. I mean, he was bold. He wasn't afraid to talk about the truth. And
it was more bold back then. He could do the same thing today, and it wouldn't be nearly as bold. But when he started out, he was unique.
Mm-hmm. So what I was going to say is that I can tell when somebody has a book to sell, and they should sell it because they worked on it, but I can tell the difference between that and somebody who's on the show to sell a book because they won't answer any questions. They'll keep saying, get the book.
So-and-so.
Get the book.
That kind of answer.
Get the book. And I've had other people say, you know, free books too, but when I can generally tell, but I never get mean or nasty with anybody because that's just not a way to be. I may be funny and sarcastic a little bit, have a little fun, but in general, my heart is right, and I think people can see that.
Gotcha.
I'm a little teary-eyed, Mary. I didn't know that was going to happen, man. I didn't mean to do that on the show.
I think you need a stage.
Lassoed you again. All right. I'm having fun now. Okay, let's get into this.
Dance and do all that stuff. Sing, dance, and...
Well, I have. I've sung quite a bit on this show. In fact, I had a Christmas show, Christmas Eve. I had a karaoke sing-along because I figured everybody was in, you know, shut down. And,
right.
And nobody's singing songs. I figured singing music is good for the heart and singing some Christmas songs being better. So I'm I'm singing with people, and all of a sudden YouTube just shuts my stream down.
Why?
Because the song sounded too close to White Christmas from Bing Crosby. It was a karaoke song.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. They just shut the show right off. Nero was singing and playing my guitar, having a good old time with the folks. I was thinking, are you kidding me, man? The Christmas show, Christmas Eve, singing White Christmas, it was karaoke. It wasn't even a real song, so it wasn't a copyright violation.
Oh, my goodness.
That hurt.
That's not right.
That hurt. Now, that makes me, you said earlier that Bigfoot it brings some healing. I mean, should I turn to a Bigfoot in this time of want and woe? And
by the way, the Bigfoot do like music.
Oh.
And people who have been like around campfires and they're singing or playing a guitar, sometimes they have seen the Bigfoot off in the trees listening to it. And there's a number of stories where they like to hear the music.
Wow.
I'm not sure they like all our music.
You know, I'm really...
Campfire sounds and things like that they do like.
Well, that's good to know, because every time I go camping, I bring my guitar and sing around the campfire. Now I know I got an audience.
I mean, as long as you don't come first with your idea of hiding the gun, they might actually come up and talk to you.
Wow. I mean, I suppose if I start singing a Stairway to Heaven or a rock song, that probably won't attract them, right? I mean, what kind of songs I got to sing?
I think it has to be a little bit more mellow.
Okay, like a Bob Seger? That good? Or
yeah, might work. You know, folk music, things like that.
Folk music, okay. All right. So kind of serenade them. They come in the campfire, give them something to drink.
Just think campfire.
Wow. Man, I'm looking for my next. I'm going to look at camping a whole new way.
Listen, if you have success with this, would you please let me know?
Okay. Well, I will. The next time I sing, I'm going to try to sing something directly to them. You know, I'm going to address them, say, Bigfoot family or whoever you are out there, appreciate you. We'll sing a song for you. Come on in.
Might work.
I give it a go. You know I would. Well, now somebody suggests, what if I sing a gospel, try to get them saved? Do you think I could do that?
I don't think the concept of being saved would come across, but if you sing a gospel song nicely, I'm sure they would like it.
Like Amazing Grace or something?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Like, that's got really soothing tones. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's more that it's only the tones, because they're not going to understand the meaning of everything.
Wow. Man, I got information tonight I've never had before, Mary. I'm glad he can come back on the show.
I really want you to go out and be successful at that. I think that'd be great.
Well, I'm halfway there, so I'm already doing it, so why not do it with intention? And I think you kind of mentioned intention, like they kind of perceive your intention, so I'm not going to trick them. I'm not going to trick them with a .45 in the pocket there.
Right, that would wipe it all out. You wouldn't have a chance.
No,
that'd
wipe that all out. All the goodwill, all the good singing, everything, all the good times, boom. It's like capital there. You don't want to spend it on that, so... But, you know, they could always come around the campfire and join the singing. Now, if they join the singing, you think they would hum or would they growl?
Most of the time they just listen. Some of this stuff is so far back I can't quote it. But there was one where the Bigfoot tried to make sounds like the man who was singing.
Mm-hmm.
That was somebody who... had established a relationship with the Bigfoot. I don't think you could get that on the first try.
Mm. So really, you got to kind of convince them that you're not there to kill them, and then stuff them.
Right. Never come to your campfire if you think like that.
Just say, I'm never going to have a Bigfoot head over my mantle. That's just not what I do.
No.
They catch you on that. So I'm pretty sure they can figure that out. Who's doing that and who wants to do that. Here's a question for you. It says, are there any other paranormal studies that you have done besides Bigfoot or aliens? Do you look into paranormal activities?
I've done the stuff on the little people. That I don't know if that's really paranormal, but because that's actually a race of little people.
Mm-hmm.
I actually get kind of weary when I turn on the History Channel and they're always doing something about ghosts. I get I don't like to pursue that too much.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a little bit of it, but my opinion on ghosts is that they have not evolved. They are not going toward God or going toward the light, and they are stuck here. Mm-hmm. And some of the ones that are stuck here aren't the best of the ones that we would want to meet anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people are sometimes playing with fire if they do too much ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of black-eyed children?
Yes.
Are they? Is that a real phenomenon?
I've only read about it.
Mm-hmm. What I know about little people, is it that if you go in the forest in their area, you have to leave a gift?
No, that's not true. The Cherokee people here, the old timers, would put food out for the little people. And sometimes if they forgot to put it out after they had trained the little people to come and get the treats, they would throw pebbles on their roof to remind them that the treat wasn't there. I don't know if that's responding correctly to your statement.
So they kind of got that kind of a trick-or-treat feel there. Like if you don't give them something, man, they're going to play a little trick on you.
Well, the humans started it.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like I have a bird feeder, and when it's not filled up, some of the birds kind of let me know it needs to be filled up.
Mm-hmm.
So I started it, they didn't.
Well, an interesting phenomenon happened, Mary. We raised chickens, and the bottom of the chicken wire, which is like 14-gauge steel, a section, and I'm going to say about how high, you should be able to see about that high, of fence, was cut. At the very bottom, it's the very bottom row on the ground. I think approximately 10 of those were cut. And not only were they cut, they were twisted up. So they were all bent up inside exactly correct. Now, as far as I know, there's no size animal that could get into that space of any sort that could cut through solid steel. It appeared that it was sawn, though they were clean cuts in this steel. Now, there's no animal that's going to have that kind of clean cut and take the time to push those things up all symmetrically. They were all exactly...
So did you have chickens missing?
No. That's what's even weirder.
And nothing was taken?
Nothing.
Well, that's bizarre.
It is bizarre. I'm thinking, there's no animals going to do... If an animal's going to do something, it's going to be gnarled, it's messed up.
That sounds like a human.
Well, it does. So, you know, but it's on the bottom row about that long, about this much. How am I getting a picture here? It's about that long, about that high, rung, and they were all bent up inside it. And I'm thinking, if I was going to find a dead chicken, I was like, what in the heck could cut that steel evenly right with the wire? You know, a tool of some kind or some phenomena. Now I'm thinking maybe it was a little person.
I haven't heard a story like that one, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, man,
there aren't that many little people. They're not, most of them would be more historic. The number of little people that I'm aware of that are actually alive today is a small number. So
the little people, are they humanoids?
See, even if the little people did that, they would be in there for the eggs or the chicken. I mean, if nothing's missing, your story's crazy. That's why would somebody do that?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't chicken wire. It was solid steel, 14-gauge, and that takes a tool to cut through.
Yeah, that's even more mystifying. Why would somebody do that?
And it can't be. And if something is gnawing through it, you're going to see like gnaw marks.
Right.
It was cut. And now somebody said, well, maybe your neighbor came over in the middle of the night, came from, you know, 800 yards away, ran across in the middle of the night, cut it. Maybe they want to let the chickens out, but the chicken ain't going to get through there. So I don't know what the whole point was. That was pretty bizarre.
That's one of your questions I just have no answer for.
But now, I have seen videos. I don't know if you've seen them. I know the net's full of creepy stuff. But somebody in Mexico was filming their kid, and in the background, some little creature come running across the kitchen floor.
Yeah, we actually posted that on our website.
Okay, well, somebody like that might have done that.
The one that... we must be referring to the same little video, because I can't imagine there's a bunch of them.
Oh, you think it's just one of those creatures?
That little creature would have a real hard time getting through that piece of metal also.
Mm-hmm.
That was small.
Do you think that was Photoshop? Do you think it was real?
I played it enough times that I decided that it was at least worth putting up for people to consider.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't look faked. But, you know, anything's possible today.
Well, I think that's good that you let people make their own decisions, you know. Just because you put something up doesn't mean you're saying it's true. I think it's of interest. And maybe somebody might look in their kitchen one time and say they see something in the corner of the eye that people call shadow people. I mean, there's various things that go on in this world that we don't know about, and that's one of the reasons I like to bring people on the show, talk about it, and talk about it. Mary, let's talk about these books. Now, how can people get these books that you have made?
They're all available through Amazon, and if you go to the website, skyshipsovercashiers.com, open up Editor's Corner, and you can see the cover and a quick little description of each of the books.
So now, do you have any upcoming interviews on other shows soon?
Yeah, I've got one tomorrow.
Oh, where are you going? Are you going to say, or?
Actually, it's somebody who has a show that's totally devoted to Bigfoot, so I'll have to get my brain working a little bit better than it's working tonight. But you know, you're a challenge, so I can't make my brain work as well.
Well, it seemed pretty snappy to me. So I think you did just fine, man. I love having you on the show. But yeah, I think the topic of Bigfoot and ETs and structures on Mars, there's all these things that the system is just like forcing us to go out and get our own information. And I like what we were talking about in the first hour, that even the person that had a stroke is out there looking for truth. And here their impact of continuing to live and to do things, even with their condition, appeared on this show, and we're talking about tonight. Now, that's right. An impact.
Right, and right now that was just posted, so it's at the top of the global link section on the website. Mm-hmm. And we show her pictures, and at the end there's a little bit written about her by her caretaker. And I think it's just a nice, heartwarming thing for all of us to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, we can't always prove everything, but when I can, I try to. Like with these different findings on Mars and Antarctica and under the sea. Whenever possible, I try to give people the coordinates or some way they can go and look for it for themselves. And then they don't have to just accept what Mary Joyce has put on her website.
Mm-hmm. I saw somebody in our live chat said they went scuba diving and they saw a structure in 100 feet of water. There are so many unexplained things underwater. Now, what's the percentage? I heard there's percentage of underwater research is like we've seen 5% of what's on the ocean floor. Is that true?
I'm sure it's not any more than that. So, I mean, if we want a place to explore that doesn't require a shuttle, that's the place to start, because a scuba tank certainly is a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said they want to know what your website is again.
All right. Skyships over Cashiers. So if you type into Skyships over, you'll probably get to it. Cashiers is the name of the town where we first began to see all the UFOs. It's a town, one of the ridgetop towns here in the mountains. Mm-hmm. So it's skyshipsovercashiers.com. We also have a Facebook page with the same name, skyshipsovercashiers.com.
When civilization was normal in this country and people did seminars and things, did you ever go to seminars and speak?
Yes, I have.
Is there any plans?
There's no plans right now. I mean, the last one I did was in February, just before all this Corona. Corona, that's beer.
I have had an effect on you.
COVID, changed our lives. So I have nothing planned as far as that goes. Right.
I saw some people in the live chat said they'd just like to meet you. They really like you. And everybody was happy when they heard you was coming back on. So I really appreciate you coming on. Here's a note says from Don. Says, thank you, Mary, for being here tonight. Come back again. This has been a great show. Does anybody else like to say anything to Mary before we let her go? So, Mary, just final thoughts on your website there. People can discover your research on Bigfoot, ETs, underwater structures on Mars. Did I miss anything?
Well, there's other things, too. I mean, anything that's just that you're not going to find on the regular media that isn't covered every which way. We're not limited to those things. In the article section, we often get into things that are beyond what we're just talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But those are major categories where we keep getting stuff in those fields.
So isn't there a suggest link there if you have a story that somebody can send it in?
Yes. Again, on the homepage, it at the very top, it tells you how you can submit a make contact or submit a story or whatever. Mm-hmm. And people, some of the good things do come in that way. I do still have to check them out. I, you know, don't want to get fooled on you, somebody who just thinks it might be fun to be fooled.
Mm. Hey, I read that between the line there. Here you go. Put Yahweh First says, we love you. And then we have another one. Joey Splash says, thank you, Mary. Great guest. Thoughtful answers. Shelly says, thanks so much. Big 21 says, good stuff. How do you like that?
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you to share that. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right, we're going to let you go. Mary, appreciate you coming on the edge.
One more thing. You got a promise.
Oh, what's that?
You're going to go sing in the woods with the Bigfoot. And if you get successful, please let me know.
You got
we will feature you on our website.
I will do it. You got the cowboy truck. You got the cowboy's word on that. I will do that.
That sounds good.
One way or another, I will report back to you what happened. Now, I understand it may not happen first time because you got to win their trust. But I'm going to serenade them. I'm going to win their trust, and I'm going to get them come in.
If you've got a place where you could go out there with some regularity, that would be great because it usually takes a bit of patience to get that rapport going.
Hmm. Okay. A couple more came in. Great show. Thanks, Daniel, Jade, our moderator, and Mary. David says, thank you. Very informative. Jim Misko says, great show, Daniel. Great show as always and great chat. All right. And Shelley says, awesome show, too. They love you.
Thank you. You're very kind. And we got through that without getting political.
Whew. It was close. It got real close, but we pulled it back.
You have a good evening. Right. Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mary. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.